to the level of their suite. Fuchs's eyes went even wider once they entered the suite. "Luxury," he said, a reluctant smile brightening his normally dour face. "This is real luxury." Even Amanda seemed impressed. "I've never been in one of the hotel's rooms before." Suddenly, Fuchs's smile dissolved into a suspicious scowl. "He might have the rooms bugged, you know."
"Who, Martin?"
Fuchs nodded gravely, as if afraid to speak.
"Why would he bug the rooms?"
"To learn what we plan to say to him. What our position will be in the negotiation, what our bottom figure will be."
There was more, but he hesitated to tell her. Pancho had hinted that Humphreys videotaped his own sexual encounters in the bedroom of his palatial home. Would the man have cameras hidden in this bedroom? Abruptly, he strode to the phone console sitting on an end table and called for the registration desk. "Sir?" asked the clerk's image on the wall screen. A moment earlier, it had been a Vickery painting of nuns and butterflies.
"This suite is unacceptable," Fuchs said while Amanda stared at him. "Is there another one available?"
The clerk grinned lazily.
"Why, yes, sir, we have several suites unoccupied at the moment. You may have your pick."
Fuchs nodded.
"He can't have them all bugged," he thought.
"I'm glad you decided to meet me in person," Martin Humphreys said, smiling from behind his wide desk. "I think we can settle our business much more comfortably this way."
He leaned back, tilting the desk chair so far that Fuchs thought the man was going to plant his feet on the desktop. Humphreys seemed completely at ease in his own office in the mansion he had built for himself so deep below the lunar surface. Fuchs sat tensely in the plush armchair in front of the desk, feeling uneasy, wary, stiffly uncomfortable in the gray business suit that Amanda had bought for him at an outrageous price in the hotel's posh store. He had left Amanda in the hotel. He did not want her in the same room as Humphreys. She had acquiesced to his demand and told her husband that she would go shopping in the Grand Plaza while he had his meeting. Humphreys waited for Fuchs to say something. When he just sat there in silence, Humphreys said, "I trust you had a good night's sleep." Suddenly, Fuchs thought of hidden cameras again. He cleared his throat and said,
Yes, thank you.
"The hotel is comfortable? Everything all right?"
"The hotel is fine."
The third person in the room was Diane Vervoort, sitting in the other chair in front of the desk. She had angled it so that she faced Fuchs more than Humphreys. Like her boss, she wore a business suit. But while Humphreys' dark burgundy suit was threaded with intricate filigrees of silver thread, Fervoort's pale ivory outfit was of more ordinary material. Its slit skirt, however, revealed a good deal of her long, slim legs. Silence stretched again. Fuchs looked at the hollow window behind Humphreys' desk. It showed the lush garden outside the house, bright flowers and graceful trees. Beautiful, he thought, but artificial, contrived. An ostentatious display of wealth and the power to flaunt one man's will. How many starving, homeless people on earth could Humphreys help if he wanted to, instead of creating this make-believe Eden for himself here on the moon? At last, Fervoort said crisply, all business,
"We're here to negotiate the final terms of your sale of Helvetia Limited to Humphreys Space Systems."
"No, we are not," said Fuchs.
Humphreys sat up straighter in his chair.
"We're not?"
"Not yet," Fuchs said to him.
"First, we must deal with several murders."
Humphreys glanced at Fervoort. For just that instant, he seemed furious, but he regained his composure almost immediately.
"And just what do you mean by that?"
she asked calmly.
Fuchs said, "At least three prospector ships have disappeared over the last few weeks. Humphreys Space System somehow acquired the claims to the asteroids that those prospectors were near to."
"Mr. Fuchs," said Vervoort, with a deprecating little smile,
"you're turning a coincidence into a conspiracy. Humphreys Space Systems has dozens of ships scouting through the belt."
"Yes, and it's damned expensive, too," Humphreys added.
"Then there is the out-and-out murder of Niles Ripley on Sirius by a Humphreys employee," Fuchs went on doggedly.
Humphreys snapped. "From what I hear, you took care of that yourself. Vigilante justice, isn't it?"
"I stood trial. It was declared justifiable self-defense."
"Trial," Humphreys sniffed. "By your fellow rock rats.
Your employee murdered Niles Ripley."
"Not by my orders," Humphreys replied, with some heat. "Just because some hothead on my payroll gets himself into a brawl, that's not my doing."
"But it was to your benefit," Fuchs snapped.
Coolly, Fervort asked, "How do you come to that conclusion, Mr. Fuchs?"
"Ripley was the key man in our habitat construction program. With him gone, the work is stopped."
"So?"
"So Vanshu acquire Helvetia, the only organization capable of finishing the project, will be HSS."
"And how does that benefit me?" Humphreys demanded. "Finishing your silly-ass habitat doesn't put one penny into my pocket."
Not directly, perhaps," said Fuchs. "But making Ceres safer and more livable will bring more people out to the belt. With your company in control of their supplies, their food, the air they breathe, even. How can you fail to profit?"
"You're accusing me?"
Fervort interrupted the budding argument. "Gentlemen, we're here to negotiate the sale of Helvetia, not to discuss the future of the asteroid belt."
Humphreys glared at her again, but took in a breath and said grudgingly, "Right."
Before Fuchs could say anything, Fervort added, "What's done is done, and there's no way of changing the past. If an HSS employee committed murder, you made him pay the full price for it."
Fuchs searched for something to say.
"Now we should get down to business," said Fervort, "and settle on a price for Helvetia."
Humphreys immediately jumped in.
"My original offer was based on your total assets, which have gone down almost to nothing since the fire in your warehouse."
"Which was deliberately set," Fuchs said.
"Deliberately set?
It was no accident. It was arson. You have proof of that?
We have no forensics experts on Sirius, no criminal investigators.
So you have no proof?"
"Mr. Fuchs," Fervort said, "we are prepared to offer you $3 million international dollars for the remaining assets of Helvetia Limited, which frankly amounts to the goodwill you've generated among the miners and prospectors, and not much more."
Fuchs stared at her for a long, silent moment. So sure of herself, he thought. So cool and unruffled and, yes, even beautiful, in a cold, distant way. She's like a sculpture, made of ice.
"Well," Humphreys asked, "frankly, $3 million is pretty much of a gift. Your company's not worth half that much, in real terms."
$300 million, Fuchs murmured.
"What? What did you say?"
"You could make your offer $300 million, or $3 billion. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to sell to you."
"That's stupid,"
Humphreys blurted.
"I won't sell to you at any price. Never. I'm going back to Sirius and starting all over again."
"You're crazy."
"Am I? Perhaps so. But I would rather be crazy than give in to you."
"You're just going to get yourself killed," Humphreys said.
"Is that a threat?"
Again, Humphreys looked at Fervort, then turned back to Fuchs. He smiled thinly.
"I don't make threats, Fuchs. I make promises."
Fuchs got to his feet.
"Then let me make you a promise in return. If you want to fight, I can fight. If you want a war, I'll give you a war. And you won't like the way I fight. I promise you that. I've studied military history. It was required in school. I know how to fight."
Humphreys leaned back in his desk chair and laughed.
"Go ahead and laugh," Fuchs said, pointing a stubby finger at him. "But consider, you have a great deal more to lose than I do."
"You're a dead man, Fuchs."
Fuchs nodded in agreement. "One of us is." With that, he turned and strode out of Humphreys' office. For several moments, Humphreys and Fervort sat there staring at the doorway Fuchs had gone through.
"At least he didn't slam the door," Humphreys smirked.
"You've made him angry enough to fight," Fervort said, with a troubled frown. "You backed him into a corner, and now he feels he has nothing to lose by fighting."
Humphreys guffawed. "Him? That little weasel? It's laughable. He knows how to fight. He studied military history."
"Maybe he has," she said.
"So what?" Humphreys replied testily. "He's from Switzerland, for God's sake. Hardly a martial nation. What's he gonna do, smother me in Swiss cheese? Maybe yodel me to death?"
"I wouldn't take it so lightly," said Fervort, still looking at the empty doorway.
"Piracy?" Hector Wilcox's eyebrows rose almost to his silver-gray hairline. Eric Czar looked uncomfortable, unhappy as the two men strolled along the lane through the park just outside the IAA office building. Spring was in the air. The trees were beginning to bud. The local St. Petersburg populace was thronging the park, glad to see the sun. Women were sunbathing on the grass, their long